Thanks for your Hooters love and support during these difficult times. We'll always be here to offer a welcome escape from this crazy world with our amazing Hooters girls and fun-loving atmosphere. We know it can be tough to get out with friends and family these days, but don't worry, we've got you covered. It's fall, the game's on, and there's nothing better than Hooters to go to pull it all together for a great time. Hooters, our place or yours, we'll make it fun. Visit originalhooters.com.
Time for the season 5 finale of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you, Hooters, for the sponsorship the last 4 years. We hope you come back for season 6. We hope you will feel better about us bringing multiple podcast leagues back to multiple restaurants or one restaurant across multiple nights. But thank you very much for your presenting sponsorship of season 5. Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford, I will see you on January 7th. The check is being printed. Rob Wright, winner of the podcast league for the second time, will be there to accept his $1,000 check. He has won Bill Curry's money. Thanks for putting it up, Sean. Thanks for hosting us on the showroom floor, giving us a place to save one podcast league. It turned into sort of an all-star league. It worked out very well. We have a very worthy champion. Thanks also again to ABC Action News chief meteorologist Dennis Phillips and his two sons for coming out. They lost the title game and everyone else who participated. Val, we hope to get you back in that league at Bill Curry Ford for 2021. Val was the 2019 Podcast League champion, a wild card who ran the table in the playoffs. She was stuck in Maine. I don't know if she's still there or not. I should reach out. So she was not able to participate in person with us. Geographically transplanted to Maine due to the virus. So some will be back in that league. Others will be moved to other leagues, which I hope we can host at Hooters. But January 7th will be the podcast league check presentation. And look for it on my social media pages. I'm simply Todd Wright on Facebook. Instagram is currently at Todd Wright 2020. I usually change the number once we change the year. Sometimes I change it to the next year. I'm considering doing something else. But either way, you can always email me at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I'd love for all podcast listeners to stay in touch. Remember, I go forward with the Todd Wright Toddcast in 2021, as I've done for non-fantasy content and regular sports and pop culture and entertainment commentary for the last couple of years. That will continue. So for those of you who are fantasy podcast listeners, I hope you check out the Todd Wright Toddcast at some point in the coming days and weeks and jump aboard there. Also there, we can keep you up to date on what's going on with the 2021 fantasy leagues as it relates to where they will be, what the rules will be, how many owners I need, etc. Some owners, unfortunately, like Val, had to go on hiatus for various reasons. My goal in 2020 was to expand to 4 leagues, and we just didn't have the resources to host those drafts. We had one, and thanks to Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford for that, and I'll see them on January the 7th. The Foundation League, I want to tell a quick story there and make an announcement there as well. This is my personal league. First of all, I'm very sad that the place I bought, our very coveted, appreciated Jimmy McGinty trophy a number of years ago, back in June, this family business of 62 years closed its doors. I'm sure the pandemic had something to do with it. I sense that they might be getting near the end in recent years, just based on my observations. They were still doing great work. It's just unfortunate. I can't deal with Browns trophies in Tampa Bay anymore. I have used them for the foundation fantasy championship every year for nameplates, updating the plate that says Jimmy McGinty Trophy. They took good care of it. They sold it to me initially. They got everything right. I also bought Todd Wright Tour golf tournament trophies from them for various presentations, winners, Hall of Famers. I didn't know you guys were going out of business. I'm one of those that I come to you when I need something, and I haven't needed anything until I need a new nameplate on the foundation trophy, and you're done. I wish you all very well. 62 years is an awesome amount of time to run a family business. And I only hope that those involved with Browns trophies are happy with their decision and leading a very comfortable retirement. I will miss dealing with you guys. You made it very easy on me for fantasy football and golf tournament purposes. Say hi if any of you are listening sometime at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I would like to personally thank somebody for what you did. So I'm looking for, if you are involved with a trophy place in the greater Tampa Bay area, I'm not worried. I'm going to find a place to do new nameplates and new golf tournament trophies, etc. But if you are an active listener of mine, I'd love to give you my business. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I need to put Joey DePompo's name on the Jimmy McGinty Trophy at some point here in the coming days and weeks as our sixth champion. Joey defeated his wife Tara in a DePompo versus DePompo battle. Tara had never made the title game before. She had never won a playoff game before. She was the team to beat all year until Will Fuller was suspended for PED use and Kyler Murray played hurt. Prior to that, she was basically untouchable. But Joey made a hell of a run, reminding me of when Bill Eisman won the podcast league in 2018. Bill didn't lose a game, I think, the last 2+ months. Joey in the Foundation League didn't lose a game the last 2 months. He did have Alvin Kamara, but he basically won that game against Tara in the championship by almost the exact amount of points that Kamara scored, which showed it wasn't just Kamara. He had a worthy team. They played well. Again, he didn't lose a game the last 2 months. He is a golf instructor at Tampa Bay Downs Golf. If you ever need golf lessons, I highly recommend Joey DePompo. Tell him I sent you. He also runs various summer camps or holiday kids camps for golf. He's also the golf coach at Sickles High School for girls and boys and has been for a handful of years. Joey told me as I was hitting balls the other day that he turned to Tara on Christmas Day. Normally I'm with those guys on Christmas Day, but I wasn't this time. I would have loved to have been in on this conversation. So whatever, I forget what time kickoff was of the Saints and Vikings. What was it, like 4:30, 5 o'clock Eastern time on Christmas Day to officially start Fantasy Championship Week? Joey has Kamara, Tara has Dalvin Cook. Joey told me he looked at his wife and said, "What do you say we pull our number one running backs out of the lineup today, just enjoy our Christmas, and we'll play with everybody else the rest of the weekend?" And she said no. Now, I guess she thought it was a trick. And Cook had obviously treated her extremely well all season long. But Joey made that offer for whatever reason. I don't know the motivation, but the Alvin Kamara Christmas miracle almost didn't happen for Joey, yet he probably would have still defeated Tara because Tara would have lost Dalvin Cook's points. And at least Joey had Hines on the bench. Tara didn't really have another option on the bench. I guess she could have picked one up, or they were going to vacate that running back spot entirely. Again, I'm getting this from Joey after the fact, but Kamara was almost not in his lineup, and it would have been his suggestion if Tara had accepted it. Interesting how it turned out. Congratulations to the DePompos on their first year of marriage. All the hell they went through to get married, trying to plan multiple weddings that didn't fully happen because of the ban on large gatherings. I still have a very nice suit and a very nice new pair of shoes to go with the suit that I was supposed to wear to this occasion that I hope to wear to some sort of large occasion to celebrate their anniversary at some point in the near future. For the DePompo family to be home to the Jimmy McGinty Trophy for 2021 until we have our draft, which is when they give the trophy back to me, I feel good about it. Now, one thing I didn't like about what happened in our Foundation League and in a lesser extent in the Podcast League, where we had 12 teams in each league, Yahoo did not allow, based on the way I set up the playoffs, for teams that didn't make the playoffs to play any more games. I actually like to have a loser's bracket, and not a loser's bracket simply from teams that lose in the first round of the playoffs. So I'm announcing here on my fantasy podcast to my personal foundation league that we will have relegation for the first time. I am taking the foundation league back down from 12 teams, where it was this year for the first time, to 10, because I want a loser's bracket. I want there to be a win and go home and avoid a last place game scenario. We have fun with that. The last place team gets saddled with the ass man plate and that title for the offseason, and this year we simply had to award it because Yahoo didn't give us last place games. I know for a fact if I go back to 10 teams with the top six making the playoffs, Yahoo will give me a loser's bracket for the teams that don't make the playoffs. That's what I want, and I'm going to get it. So I will be relegating the bottom two owners to podcast leagues in 2021, which isn't that much of a shift because we've actually had some of my owners who are also Todd Wright Tour players go back and forth between the Foundation League and various podcast leagues simply based on conflict with the date of a proposed draft. They can make one, not another. But Mark, our 2020 ass man from the Foundation League, will be relegated back to the podcast leagues next year. And our friend John and Fine Draft and Golf Tournament Caterer from PDQ will be relegated as well to podcast league play in 2021. If you want to get the early jump on being on the list to play in a podcast league in 2021, send me an email. Some of you did this a month or so ago when I said one of the new leagues I'm going to create in 2021 will be based on the strength of your roster top to bottom. You can announce a starting lineup, but everybody on your roster plays in a particular week, unless, of course, you have a player on a bye and you choose to continue to roster him. I've talked about how this is going to eliminate making lineup decisions. It will also eliminate the Andy Reid, I know I'm not playing Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but other people don't. You shouldn't be penalized for that. You also shouldn't be penalized when a player of yours very early in a game gets knocked out and you don't get any more point potential from them. The coach of that player's team on the field gets to replace them. You will get to replace them in this league. And I will be emphasizing the strength of the roster from one to whatever the final number is. So as long as you have backups at every position, you will get the best possible result at that position. And I know Drew Garabo's already reached out to play in that league. Scott Heckathorn from Payway in Florida, who supports my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, he wants to play in that league. Tony Tega has reached out. He wants to play in that league. Bobby, who has played in previous podcast leagues, says he likes the idea. I got your email, Bobby, saying you wanted to play. For others who want to play in that type of league, I'm happy that you want to reach out and are already showing enthusiasm. So if you want in on that in 2021, please do send me an email at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I was just telling Rich, a longtime listener who's out in California, about this league because he lost his third place game because he had points on the bench and just, you know, he regrets the decisions that he ultimately made. In a league like this, you won't have those decisions. But it really forces you to have a strong, balanced roster. And obviously, you'll be very hurt if you have a lot of players on bye week the same week because you won't have as many options. The Moneyball League will also return in 2021, where I have the first pick in an 8-team league, and I make no other draft picks, and I wait until after the draft is done to go assemble my team, basically Billy Bean Moneyball style, picking from the leftovers and trying to build an opening day lineup and roster and then make trades and waiver claims that will help me compete ultimately for a title. I didn't make the playoffs in the first year of the Moneyball League in 2019. All right, some quick observations, and then let's wrap up Season 5 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Based on my scoring settings, here are some of my overall observations about what happened this season. The top 10 performing players in my league, my scoring settings, were quarterbacks. The top 5 were Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. But the top 10 performers in points were all quarterbacks. Those top 10 also ran for a combined 48 touchdowns. That means on average, each of the top 10 overall fantasy players were quarterbacks, and they ran for 4.8 touchdowns per season. The next three highest overall point producers were running backs. These were the ones that that paid off for you. You drafted them in the first round. They did better than McCaffrey, Barkley, Elliott. You did well with Kamara, Cook, Henry. High volume, highly productive, insulated from serious injury, players all on good teams. I'm sorry, Vikings weren't a good team, but they were a very good fantasy team based on other performances. Kamara scored 21 touchdowns, Cook scored 17, Henry scored 15. So the top three running backs combined to score 53 touchdowns. Again, the top 10 quarterbacks in front of them ran alone for 48. Kamara, Cook, Henry produced 53. But just shows you quarterbacks are running for yardage and touchdowns now, and it's affecting the power balance of what we have in fantasy football. One owner tried the zero quarterback theory in the podcast league, and it was a friggin' disaster. He won't do it again. The next four behind Kamara, Cook, and Henry, so overall point producers, 14, 15, 16, and 17, were also quarterbacks. But Cousins, Big Ben, Matt Ryan, and I can't read my writing. Derek Carr. So they were quarterbacks 11 through 14. And technically, only Kamara, Cook, and Henry outscored them for the season. But relative to other top quarterbacks, they all came in for the season roughly 100 points lower than the top five at their position. 100 points lower. There's nothing exciting about Cousins, Big Ben, Ryan, and Carr, right? I don't know that that was a championship quarterback for you. So even though overall they're higher than any non-quarterbacks not named Kamara, Cook, and Henry relative to their position, being quarterbacks 11 through 14, not nearly good enough. Not this year. The next two non-quarterbacks were wide receivers and the best tight end in Travis Kelce. It was Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, and Travis Kelce. Both Hill and Adams produced 17 touchdowns. I think Kelce produced 11. It also shows that Kelce is that elite of a tight end where he can not only be evaluated with the best wide receivers, but he justifies his high draft position on an annual basis. I'm going to talk about the tight end and remind all of you to get rid of it for next year at the end of this podcast. So there's an obvious gap from the top three running backs to the rest of the top 10. It's not as obvious as the gap between the top 10 quarterbacks and those next four. But Kamara, Cook, and Henry were the elite backs. Robinson did miss week 16, still finished RB4. Would have been a little closer to the top three, wouldn't have been in the top three. But Robinson was number four. A great get if you had him this year from the Jacksonville Jaguars solely based on workload. That was followed by Aaron Jones at RB5. David Montgomery rallied to be RB6. Jonathan Taylor came on late after a bad lull in the middle of the season to be RB7. Josh Jacobs was RB8. And both Browns running backs finished 9 and 10. Hunt, who never got hurt, and Chubb, who did. But even for all that time Chubb missed, it paid off if you kept him or you acquired him when he was injured in what was that, week 4, I believe, against the Cowboys. All right, wide receivers 3 through 10. So this is below the elite level of Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams. Stephon Diggs, hell of a trade for the Bills. And Diggs played hard and is really playing hard as the Bills hit the playoffs. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver 4. DK Metcalf, wide receiver 5. Ridley really took a step forward this year, right from the beginning of the season, producing touchdowns regularly. Thielen was wide receiver 6. As much as any of the top 10 wide receivers, it was more based on his red zone performance than overall yardage. Mike Evans, similar, not as exaggerated, but close. Mike Evans was 7. Justin Jefferson, great rookie performance. Kind of makes you wonder, what are the Vikings doing, right? For the last few years, weren't they supposed to be pushing to make a Super Bowl? And it's not happening. Despite the fact that they've been in the playoffs, they've had good teams, they clearly have productive offensive players, Cook, Thielen, Jefferson, even Cousins, QB11 for what it's worth. I think you have to start evaluating the coaching staff in Minnesota. Perhaps they lost the guy they should have kept in Kevin Stefanski, who went on to Cleveland. DeAndre Hopkins did fall as Murray struggled to play hurt. Hopkins went from being the number one wide receiver in fantasy football about 6 weeks into the season. He finished wide receiver 9. And Allen Robinson, always just getting it done. The guy, if Allen Robinson could ever play with a top-notch quarterback, you wonder how good he would be. Wide receiver 10 with the combination of Foles and Trubisky. And consistent volume. Call it garbage time. Call it whatever you want. But I know via my emails and other things I did with Gil Alexander the last couple of months, I kept reminding people, you play Allen Robinson. All right. Here's where I rip tight ends for the last time this year. And please keep this in mind as you set your settings for 2021 and try to take me up on the fact that I know in DraftKings you can't eliminate it, but in your season-long leagues you can. Get rid of the mandatory tight end, make it a wide receiver slash tight end flex that allows you to play great tight ends like Travis Kelce, who put up wide receiver 1 numbers this year, or Darren Waller, who put up wide receiver 1/2 numbers this year. Evaluating wide receiver and tight ends as one position. Waller was number 13. Kelce was 3. Waller was 13. Then we drop all the way down to number 34 on wide receivers and tight ends evaluated for point production till you get to Robert Tonyan, go-to guy for Aaron Rodgers, 34. So that's barely a wide receiver 3 or a flex play. Then Andrews from the Ravens at 39. That's also flex consideration. Then TJ Hockenson at 41. Gesicki at 44. Gronk at 45. Almost all touchdowns. Jonnu Smith at 48. Logan Thomas, 53. Jimmy Graham, 54. Eric Ebron, 63. Hunter Henry, 64. So, in a 12-team league, what I'm telling you, this is how lacking the tight end position is. In a 12-team league this year, the best 12 tight ends, Kelce was the equivalent of a wide receiver 1. Waller was the equivalent of a wide receiver 1/2. Tonyan was the equivalent of a wide receiver 3 or flex play. Everything below that was a flex play consideration at best. All the way down to the 12th highest producing tight end in Hunter Henry as number 64 if you evaluate tight end production with wide receiver production. 64. Now let's take it a step further. Let's go down to tight end 8 this year, Jonnu Smith. Fast start, nothing in the middle, and then came on a little bit at the end. So he was the 8th best tight end in fantasy football this year, according to my scoring settings. 8th. Here are players who put up roughly the same points this fantasy season in total as the 8th best tight end in the game. Tim Patrick. I would imagine he spent most of his years on and off your waiver wires in your league. DJ Chark. Enormous disappointment in his second year in Jacksonville. Keelan Cole, another Jaguar wide receiver, also available in a majority of leagues on waivers all season. Christian Kirk, just like last year, middle or so part of the season, put up a huge number or two, and then not much else. Adrian Peterson. Was that a running back anybody started on a regular basis and was happy with? Austin Eckler. Now, I know that's a significant name that some of you drafted, but weren't you disappointed that he couldn't play more games? He missed most of the season. He missed most of the season and still put up basically the same numbers as Jonnu Smith, the eighth best tight end in fantasy football. Leonard Fournette. Yeah, Leonard Fournette basically put up comparable numbers to Jonnu Smith. And I give you one more. Tony Pollard. The winning move of week 15 in the fantasy playoff semifinals, when Zeke was declared inactive, the 90 minutes between that and the Cowboys game, starting against the Niners, plugging and playing Tony Pollard, available in over 50% of leagues, was a winning move. That was really the only time this year Pollard had any fantasy relevance. For the year, Pollard's numbers are almost identical to Jonnu Smith, the eighth best tight end in fantasy football. Oh, and one more. In my adjusted scoring settings for kickers, where I reduce the amount of points kickers can generate, there are no 5-point field goals. There are no 4-point field goals. Every field goal is worth 3. Every extra point is worth 1, just like the game we watch. And there are penalties for missed field goals of 39 and in and missed extra points. It's a minus 1. So my kickers don't score as much as your kickers. Yet in my adjusted kicker scoring settings, 18 place kickers outscored Jonnu Smith this year. 18. Outscored the eighth most productive tight end. I implore you, do not click the box in 2021 for a mandatory tight end to start in your league. Click the next box down, W/T. You will see how much better it will make your league, and it will stop you from wasting time on lousy tight ends on a week-to-week basis. It also does not change the value of Travis Kelce or Darren Waller, or hopefully if George Kittle gets healthy. There were significant injuries this year. Those of you like me that drafted any of these, Dak Prescott, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, that's 2 years in a row. George Kittle, just mentioned him. You lost Will Fuller at the wrong time. Julio Jones let you down. Michael Thomas let you down big time. Austin Eckler, we mentioned him. Yeah, those stand out. So that'll pretty much wrap it up. I really enjoy doing this podcast. I love fantasy football. It's introduced me to a lot of people. Love having skin in the game. So let's do it again in 2021. Stay in touch via email. Let me know at any point between now and July that you're interested in playing in the podcast leagues, because I want to have about 4 of them. We'll see if we can do it. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 6-7 months. I wish you all a healthy and happy new year. I thank you sincerely for listening to my podcast. I encourage you to listen to the Todd Wright Toddcast for non-fantasy content going forward if you don't already, and follow me on social media. I'm Todd Wright on Facebook, and I'm Todd Wright 2020 on Instagram. Email us toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Hey, we got to play fantasy football this year. We'll take that. Wish you well. Talk to you soon.